Humboldt Holding Up is brought to you by Los Bagels, bringing the community organic fresh baked bagels, specialty breads and baked goods, and my personal favorite, their famous slug. Los Bagels, they're here, baking through it, 7 days a week at 1061 I Street in Arcata or 403 2nd Street in Old Town Eureka, or visit losbagels.com.
This is Humboldt Holding Up, coming to you recorded from the beautifully gray Old Town Eureka. My name is Andrew Goff.
I'm Stephanie McGarry. We're back. We took a break.
We had a New Year's that sucked and a Christmas that was not as good as it usually is. And there's more to talk about, more people to dig into their lives and COVID experiences. So if this is your first time joining us, welcome to another way to experience Humboldt County.
Yeah, 2021, baby. We got some good guests lining up. But since it's been a little while, we should probably check in, do a little bit of our old housekeeping, and remind folks that you can subscribe to Humboldt Holding Up on iTunes, if you so choose. And if you're a big fan of our podcast, as I'm sure you are, and you have some sort of business or something that you need to advertise, you can also be an advertiser. You just need to email advertise@lostcoastoutpost.com, and then somebody else will tell you what to do from there. That's as far as we know. Something happens, I'm told.
So today on the show, if you've, in the last few years, if you've enjoyed a drink at Fatsy Klein's, or if you've gone to some glitzy event at the Eagle House in their beautiful ballroom, you have been enjoying the labors, the vision of one Jenny Metz, who has owned that building for the last few years and has done the amazing work there. And so we're going to try and get her in here into the Zoom room to talk a little bit about her COVID experience. Jenny, testing 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Hey,
hi.
There we go. Awesome.
How's it going?
Doing good. It's fine. The world is fine. Yeah.
Everything. It's what it is, right?
Yeah.
We can officially kick this thing off. So today we are joined by Jenny Metz, who owns the Eagle House here in Old Town, which houses the Inn at 2nd and C Streets and Fatsy Klein's. And over the years, you've been involved in producing a lot of events here in Humboldt, notably under the Burning Leaf Productions banner. I want to say thank you for taking the time to do this weird thing today.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you for taking the time to invite me here.
Yeah. So basically, as I'm sure a lot of people can gather, a lot of your passions and the things you've devoted yourself to are dependent on humans being able to gather in close proximity. So I'd imagine that your life and your projects and your hopes and your dreams have been significantly impacted by this pandemic. So I'll ask, are we ever going to get to have fun again?
We are definitely going to get to have fun again. What that looks like, you know, what that looks like, we don't know yet. But yeah, we have to. It's in our nature.
What's this last year been like for your community and people around you?
It's been very challenging. It's been a roller coaster, to say the least. We've had the Eagle House for almost 4 years this spring, and you know, it takes a while to build a business. Creating the Inn at 2nd and C, creating Fatsy Klein's. And so this was the year my whole thing was 2020, more success, less stress. And that's I got it backwards.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not saying anything about 2021. We're finally like, okay, we built these businesses. Let's go. Let's like make it successful now. And then it just had to like shut down. So, you know, it's been hard emotionally. Yeah. You know, you pour all your heart and soul into something and it's really hard.
Were there specific things that you had planned for 2020 that you were particularly excited about that you didn't get to do that you would like to mourn here?
Just, I mean, everything. We had so many events planned. You know, everybody does their holiday party with us. We do all, you know, weddings and family reunions and, you know, all the big events that we put on there. And, you know, just starting to reach out, having the community know we're there. People are still learning. So really just, you know, everything. We've worked so hard and we just really wanted this year to be like, okay, we're here. Let's have things, you know, be successful for us. So really just all of it and having to just stop.
You know, one of the things that we've really found inspiring throughout all of this, and we've talked to a lot of business owners on here, is seeing how businesses have adapted, you know, to the pandemic. And a lot of the time, you know, they've changed their operations or been partnering with other businesses and really come up with creative ways to continue serving their customers in some fashion, you know, during this time. And I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the creative things that you've done. Mm-hmm. We did see on your social media that you did like raffles, which seems like a great idea. And I'm actually really surprised that we haven't seen more of that. I mean, maybe there's been more that I just didn't notice, but that just seems like a really smart way to make a little bit of revenue and also keep people engaged. And can you share a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with the raffle, everybody likes to be engaged, and the thing, you know, the whole point of it, yes, make some, you know, get some revenue, but really it's about adding to our numbers. You know, the more followers that we get, the more the word gets out there and the more people come into the business. So, you know, it's like tag this person and share this thing. And so we're watching our numbers increase in that way. So that's, you know, been the main point of doing it. And then obviously like around Christmas, it was great. There's, I mean, seeing the whole community come together, you know, whether you're out there shopping locally or you're a business owner saying, yeah, we're all here to support one another. We're not going against, even if we're in the same industry, you know, the more we can build up our community here, the happier and healthier it's going to be overall. And that just spreads. So, you know, that was fun for the holiday to say, let's reach out to lots of different community members and go in this together. We can tag each other, support each other. And we weren't really even asking for donations so much as people, you know, being a part of it. And we were amazed. People were just like, here, take our stuff. We love you. This is great. And, you know, that was, you know, those little things that just kind of reassure you when you're kind of down the dumps. And it's like, okay, we, you know, we've got this and we'll pull through. The major thing we did was, you know, after we, you know, Fatsies has been an evolution over the years, and we have pretty much done everything. And then it was down to having a real full-on restaurant. We just did some like light snacks kind of thing before and was more focused on the music and the bar. And so when we were shut down, that was, you know, I said, wow, if we're gonna, you know, once we're allowed to open again, I don't think people are gonna come out for just a bar, you know, that's not really the thing. And So COVID said, let's do this. Let's build a kitchen, you know, let's build out the kitchen and let's open a real restaurant. So it was a big risk and I had a lot of anxiety and it was very scary, but we did it. And that, you know, and it worked. You know, people came and they liked it and the food was good and it still is good. We're just shut down temporarily again, but, you know, it was, I feel a lot better now having to shut down again. Right now I'm like, well, if I could, you know, do that, pull that off during COVID and people like us, then it's going to be okay. Like we'll get back, you know, and hopefully it won't be too long.
So you actually built out a kitchen or expanded your kitchen in order to meet COVID requirements?
Yes. We already had a small kitchen previously, but we built it out and, you know, jumped through all the hurdles. And of course there's all the different permitting, you know, there's the permitting for our sidewalk cafe and we had to build a fence on our catio outside and get a permit for that. And we've, you know, all the kitchen health requirements, everything. And then, you know, hiring a chef and hiring a crew and okay, we're pivoting now to having a full on restaurant. It was a big leap.
Yeah. So we've been doing this for almost a year now, but these last couple months specifically have been especially hard. You know, Humboldt's been in and out of the purple tier as our case count has risen, and that, I know that's led to a lot of uncertainty for local businesses. And we saw, as you mentioned, that back in December, you made the decision to shut down Fatsies until it made sense to open again. But we also saw that you opted to shut down the Inn at 2nd and C for the entirety of the month of January. And something that stuck out to me as I was reading your post, in announcing that closure, you said that some of the staff needed, you know, rest and recuperation was your yep. wording, which makes sense. But I don't think a lot of businesses publicly acknowledge that, just like how heavy this has been. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of self-care and giving priority to your mental health, your own and your yep. staff during these times?
Yeah, it's we have an amazing staff. You know, we pretty much call it our family. And, you know, we obviously couldn't do this without them. And it's been rough, you know. The hotel did better. I mean, we were shut down for a while, but we actually did better longer because so many locals were traveling. You know, usually we get these like three solid months and then, you know, and then it's kind of here and there. And then the winter's pretty slow anyway. But you know, they're dealing with people not wanting to wear masks and, yeah. you know, everybody's having to work twice as hard to keep everything clean. And, you know, just, it's just stressful for everybody, you know, and everybody was on unemployment for a while. And then even getting people to want to come back to work was challenging at first. And, you know, the whole year's just been so much for everybody. And it just kind of came down to, you know, not only my sister and myself, who, you know, we're working mostly 7 days a week, needing a break. But you know, our caretaker that lives there and takes care of the place, and you know, everybody just is like, it's really slow right now. We were barely covering, you know, we're getting a couple rooms a night, which was basically just paying the few staff members. And it's like, well, let's just take a break. And everybody was like, okay, great.
Yeah. You know, okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Spend some time with your family, your kids, just, you know, it's not worth it right now. So we will be opening again in February. We have a few bookings. You know, we're just, we have mostly contactless, you know, check-in, like we have somebody there, but everything, it can be arranged for you to just come in on your own, and staycations are great. Yeah, that's my husband and I are constantly going and spending a little time somewhere because it just, you got to break the monotony up and just have a different mindset. So,
yeah. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, should I just go? I have a kid and I'm like, I just want to go. The idea of spending a night at a hotel, not even with my partner, by myself. I want to go. I mean, a while back, like for my birthday, when my partner asked me about what I would want, I was like, you know what I would really love is just like 24 hours away from this house, from the child, from you. Like, I just want to sit alone in a hotel room and watch TV, not even anything fancy. So maybe I'll hit you guys.
Hey.
But that's cool. I was going to ask about that next, but you kind of already answered. So that you're planning, you know, at this point to open again next month.
Yeah.
Assuming conditions allow.
For the Inn, definitely. It's so big. I mean, we have 23 rooms, but the building is so big. Sometimes you don't even see anyone anyway, you know, even if it's full house, you don't run into people. So it's a really nice, safe environment, you know, for people. And we've been pretty, it's been safe. It's been good. And then for Fatsies, it's kind of just, it's so hard with, I'm like, okay, come on, son, get back into the, you know, sky. You know, it's hard. We're an evening time place and it's cold outside and we can't do indoor and we're not really a takeout place. You know, you can get us to go, but you know, that's not the intention. We want to serve you, you know, proper food, you know, fresh on the plate. So it's a thing, you know, we're constantly, what should we do? Should we try this? Should we try that? I'm hoping that we can, you know, it helps to have the hotel open because the guests come to Fatsy. So yeah. I'd love to say we're going to open, you know, beginning of February. It's also the cases are so high right now that it seems counterintuitive. But again, we have all, you know, we have a good staff that's very aware and very conscious and very clean. So kind of just like figuring it out day by day.
Right. Yeah. You talked a bit about some of the changes that you've made, and like building out the restaurant, mm-hmm. you know, during, I think one of the other maybe advantages in a way of this like downtime when you're closed is being able to plan a little bit for mm-hmm. the future, because of course, you know, whatever happens in this next year, I think it's safe to say that things aren't going to be the same, you know, when we do reopen and maybe are able to for good again, you know, businesses are just not probably going to operate the same way. So, you know, are there other things that you've been putting into place? Other kind of plans that you're making during this time? And what do you think?
Yeah. I'm a creative. I'm always thinking of new things. Like, okay, what are we going to do now? How do we pivot? What can we offer? What have we not done? What works and what can we do better? You know, we have a catering license for Fatsies. We can do, you know, we can come to your outdoor space and your party and host it. We can do food and drink and, you know, and I think there's gonna be a lot more outdoor events. So, you know, I've been racking my brain going, oh, I wonder if there's a little, you know, little trailer I can get and haul my little Fatsy cart and set up a bar at this person's wedding or that little outdoor music festival, that kind of thing. That's one of my brainstorming schemes. And then, you know, we're putting in new venting and ducting in our ballroom so that when we can do events indoors again, we have better ventilation system that are taking, you know, getting the air moving and out of there. So, you know, working on that. You know, we think the trend is going to be towards smaller private parties. We have so much space. We have so many rooms to rent. You know, we're going to be able to cater to these kind of like smaller events and smaller parties. You know, having dinner shows. People are separated in their tables watching live music, you mm-hmm. know. So we are really blessed with our space. It's so big and spacious. And, you know, so I do feel confident and comfortable that when people are feeling that way as well, you know, they're going to feel safe in our zone.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about that space, the Eagle House, and the work that you've done there over, did you say 4 years now that you've owned it?
It's been 4 years, April, since it's all technically been, you know, a real legit. It did take, we were working on it for about 2 years before that. Just to get it in our hands, and it was a long process, a really big process.
So, and just in that short span of time, I feel like y'all have established yourself as one of the more desired Humboldt destinations for joy. You know, like Halloween and New Year's are hot tickets. It's a place to be. I know a lot of people who really appreciate the Fatsy Klein's vibe, which is a space that didn't exist at all in that form before you guys got the building. And it occurs to me that like that building has had beautiful bones forever, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily a center of fun and vibrancy here in Eureka. How were you able to change that?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it has ebbed and flowed. You know, 1888, we don't have eyes on those years, but I'm sure there's been a lot of fun that's happened there. And then I know that in the late 70s, there was a lot of energy. You know, there was a nightclub in the backstage, and they played live music and had a bar back there. And you know, it was kind of a hot ticket. There's a lot of folks around here that just come in and tell us stories. Nothing's written down. I've researched. There's hardly anything, but I get people in every day going, oh, I remember when so-and-so played here and this happened there. And,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. So it's you know, it's a resurgence of that energy. And, you know, I've lived in Humboldt County for 25 years. I've kind of always avoided Eureka. I've lived all over the county, and you know, someone said, graduate to Eureka, you know, Arcata. Yeah. It was great when I was college age. It's like, okay, time to put some energy here. And there's just so much potential in Eureka. And it was scary to say, okay, I'm going to invest in Eureka. I'm going to invest across from the mission, you know, looking around me, the alley, it's, you know, there's a lot of homeless. It's kind of dirty. This is scary, but studies show that when you bring light to a neighborhood, to an area, it shines, you know, and it inspires people and it lifts things up. And we've seen that already. You know, we've seen Mendenhall Studios Catty Corner turn into these beautiful art studios, and Opera Alley is full of art and murals, and things are just popping up in a wonderful way. And so, you know, that was the big leap, was like, let's just do this. And, you know, none of us had any, we've never worked in hotels. I've never barely worked in a bar and restaurant 20 some years ago for a minute, you know, really the events was all I had to stand behind me to say, you know, people come to my parties. Why would they come here? Yeah. You know, but
did you have any inspiration in trying to craft what you did? Or did you go to smaller boutique hotels / event spaces that you're like, this is good. I could put my own touch on this design and make a go of it.
I mean, I think it's a culmination of a lot of things in my life. My sister and I, our mom is British. We grew up going to England and spent a lot of time in, you know, Victorian homes. And so that was appealing as far as the space itself. And then, my husband and I, we love doing investigations. So, you know, traveling, we love to travel. And so, you know, I love the feeling of a really, usually a little cozy, quaint place. You know, so that inspired, you know, us as well. And then I'm an artist, and it was a way for me, it's like doing events and decor and design is how I produce my art, you know? Yeah. And, I always say I get paid in smiles, and, you know, still pretty much that way, you know. One day the hope is there'll be more than just smiles, but
right.
You know, we'll get there. That was 2020's plan, but
right, yes.
And then Fatsy Klein's, like, what was that room or that space before you transformed it, right? Like, yeah. I was not aware of people even being in that room before.
No, it was an antique store. Okay. It was kind of a junk store.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think it was open really. It was kind of like call by appointment only. It was packed to the gills with stuff. And, you know, the whole idea that when we bought the building, it was basically, you know, a hotel, a Victorian inn that was kind of working, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this big ballroom, and Gallagher's used the space quite a bit, you know, and did some of their dinners and things like that in there. And, you know, I just walked in, I was like, there is so much potential here, and we can do these events, and the hotel will support that, and the events will support the hotel. And then it was like, oh, well, we're going to need some alcohol for people. And so then we were like, well, let's just get an alcohol license, and we can serve these events. Oh, no, you can't do that. You actually have to use your alcohol license every day. You can't just use it for an event. And so it's like, wow, we have to own a bar now. We have to open a bar. Well, let's stick it in here. And so, you know, we did a bunch of remodeling on the ballroom, and then we opened up the wall, and we, you know, just tore out all the terrible green carpet, and, you know, we did the whole thing there. And the bar itself was up in the back at the backstage, the old nightclub. And then that turned into, oh, well, if we want to have weddings and we want to have 21 and under, then we need to have food. Okay, well, let's get a little bit of food in here. And, you know, so it's really been this, like, one thing after another of not even knowing what to expect, really, and just going, okay, I guess we're going to do that now.
Yeah. It was about maybe 10, longer than that, years ago, a friend of mine had a wedding in that Eagle House space. And I had never been into that main ballroom before, which is just majestic. And like, there's nothing really else like it in Humboldt. And I was I was kind of saddened, you know, just like that we were having this. This was one of the most beautiful weddings I had ever been to, and I was like, nothing happens here. Like it was, it was for years. I think it, you know, for my adult life, the Eagle yep. House had not been the space had not been utilized ever. Properly.
Yeah, that's my experience too. I had you know, I said again, 25 years, and I'd never even heard of it, and. It really took, I was living in Southern Humboldt and was working with a dance troupe, and we were, you know, getting out and doing shows, and somebody says, I heard there's this cool little theater room somewhere in some Victorian building in Old Town, and, you know, where is it? What is it? How do we find it? And then it took my children, we moved up here to Arcata for them to go to school, and they started doing plays. And they had their graduation, and I walked in, I went, this is the spot, this is the place. And I looked at my husband and Tim, and I said, you know, if this ever comes up for sale, we got to buy it. Mm. And I'm kind of joking, but it very literally, and then it did. And you know, it was a tragedy. I just was like, this is a gorgeous space. This is an incredible place that is not being utilized. And it is sad. You know, and it was there, we had to put on a new roof as soon as we got the place because there were just buckets of water, buckets from the rain, and we're still fixing the roof constantly. And it, you know, it just was, it was sad. A lot of things were in disarray. A lot of the furniture was like glued together with really bad epoxy. And, you know, we really just went through and we were able to go, we need to, this place deserves to stand strong. This is an old growth redwood forest. This is what it was built out of. Yeah. And it's not doing its proper job.
Yeah.
You know,
and then the events that you've been able to throw at, again, I went to a Halloween, there, and these are large undertakings. It seems to me.
They're huge. They're crazy. I started doing events. I was a forest activist here at Redwood Headwaters Forest activist for a number of years. I started doing events there, fundraisers, small fundraisers, and then started doing fundraisers for the community park down in Southern Humboldt. And, you know, I realized that the more elaborate you do it, the more interesting you create something, the more people are drawn to it and attracted to it. And so, you know, sometimes things are a little too much. I'm like, I don't know if any of this is necessary, or this much is necessary, but it happens anyway. And then the events that we're throwing now, Marjo Lack, Fractal Productions, and myself, Burning Leaf, yeah, we come together and create these events in the Eagle House. And it's you know, we've been teaming up for a long time, her and I, and so they're, yeah, we're missing it. we're ready.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a darn good party or two.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, like you were saying before about, you know, these, some of these other really hoppin' times in the past. I was thinking, you know, that again, you know, might be another thing that comes out of all of this. I feel like when we are able to gather again, and who knows how long that's going to take. That's probably, it was the first thing to go and is probably going to be the last thing to come back. Yeah. It's these actual like big shows, live music, you know, dancing.
Yeah. Right.
But when it does, I mean, obviously it's going to be amazing. We're going to have a great time.
Humboldt has been cooped up and they're ready to get down.
Yeah. Exactly. And we're going to do it as soon as we can safely. You know, we definitely are. And there'll probably be some kind of intermittent, you know, I mean, we are lucky enough to have this large parking lot, a city parking lot in our, you know, right behind our building. And we can't get a permit and do outdoor events, you know, outdoor parties, that kind of thing is. So we'll get creative, or, you know, or it'll just be a lot less people. And, you know, we'll have to figure out ways to make people feel safe, or maybe we do little vaccinations at the door. I don't know. Vaccinations at the door.
Get your vaccination at the Eagle House, the historic Eagle House. I keep forgetting to say historic Eagle House.
It's gonna, like, the whole business is gonna transform, and healthcare workers will now be bartenders and event caterers. Yeah. And they'll just
come get your penicillin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, so there's one other thing that we've just been dying to talk to you about, and it's kind of funny to mention because it's something that happened at this point like 3 years ago, but we have to talk about a particular celebrity who famously passed through your establishment.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, of course, talking about the one and only Bill Murray.
True.
Who stayed at the Eagle House when he performed at the Arkley. And we've had a lot of celebrity sightings in Eureka and in Old Town specifically, but I think it's safe to say that that Bill Murray is one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting, for many people. Mm-hmm. And
another strata of...
Yeah. And he is. I know. I don't really know why. It's actually like, it's not even just about him as a performer, as an actor or anything. It's like that the Bill Murray sighting has become its own cult thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you must have some stories about this that you want to share with us.
Sure. Yeah. Bill Murray is Bill Murray. I mean, that's why he is where he is. He is himself. He is literally who he is. And, you know, I go back and I'll like watch these films and I'm just like, yeah, that's, you're just you. You're not even acting, you know? Yeah. He's hilarious and you have to figure him out, but you kind of already get it. But yeah, he just, you know, he was coming to stay. And of course, none of my staff's like, I'm not checking him in. I can't check him in. No, I'm too afraid to check him in. Like, I'll check him in. And he comes
really?
In, just looks like a homeless guy. And he's got his cap beanie on and his jacket on. And of course, his shoes do match his beanie. And, you know, he looks good, but he's a little scruffy. And he just walks in and looks around. And he walks up. We have this giant cat painting in our lobby, if any of you have seen that before. Miss Pearl, she watches over things for us. But he just walks up and he nose to noses with Pearl and he just kind of stands there and stares. And we're just like, okay, what's he gonna do, what's he gonna say, you know? And he just like turns around and walks up to the front desk and just like, Bill Murray. I'm like, Mr. Murray. He's like, don't ever call me Mr. Murray.
Oh, that's no. It. You're like, oh, damn it, already.
Nice to see you, buddy. You know, and the behavior just continues to be strange. The 2 days he's there with us, and he, you know, I take him up to his room, and he's looking at the artwork, and there's some weird artwork. You know, we got rid of some stuff, for sure, but there's a few things. Like, the walls are going to be bare. We'll leave it there, and you know, he's just like looking at me like, what is this? And you know, he walks into the room and he's, I left him wine and chocolate. And he's just like, what is this? I'm like, this is a local wine from our vintners here in Humboldt. And he's like, mm. Down the street. Mm, yeah, they gave me a Snickers at the last place. And it's like, is that the Mission across the street? Yep, that's the Mission. He's like, okay, where the hell am I? Like, yeah. What is
it? Because how long had you owned the? How long had you guys been open at that point?
Not long.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were still new.
It was like it must have been the fall. Oh no, it was a Christmas show that he came. So yeah, it was like, you know, 7 months or something like that.
Okay.
Fatsies was literally. It wasn't really a bar. I mean, we grew, my idea with Fatsies was always, it was like, it's going to be spectacular the first time people walk through the door. No, we built it slowly. We're still building it slowly because it's just what had to happen. But yeah, it was barely even a bar. We had some beer and wine and like, that's it. He comes in, he's like, where's the whiskey?
Oh.
Sorry. next year.
but did that feel like a validation of your works that like, you know, okay, this big name comes into town and where does he choose to stay? Oh, at the Inn and Second and C for whatever reason.
Yeah, it felt really good. It felt really good. And then the funny thing is we were just like, what is going on here? We're just getting like celebrity after celebrity. This is great. Things are going to just sail. Of course, you know, it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
It's here and there. It happens. But
sure.
Yeah, it was great. And then of course, so Pink Martini is Chyna Forrest from Pink Martini. She played as well at the Arkley the next day. And I guess they, you know, they found us and were like, well, we want to stay, you know, we want to come stay here too. And so, yeah, we were feeling pretty good about things, you know?
Yeah. And then, yeah. And then did you join Mr. Murray on a hike through the Redwoods?
We took him and his, he was here on a musical. It was a very interesting Christmas show. And so we had Jan Vogler, who is one of the top cellist. I'm wrong. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was at the show. I worked for Center Arts back then a little bit sometimes. Yep. So it was not what I expected. But that's
very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they all stayed. And so, yeah, we said, you know, and my husband is a forester. And so, you know, the talk was like, oh, we got to go see some redwood trees. It's like, we're going to take you to see some real redwood trees. Like, we're going to go to Lady Bird Johnson. We're going to, you know, get you out there and really, you know, see the ocean and see the forest here. And it was a great excuse for my son to get out of school that day. Sorry, Bill Murray's here. They did some pictures together, send the teacher, like, here's the excuse.
Got to show, prove it to the teacher. They're like, I've heard some excuses in my dinner, but please, you're going on a hike in the redwoods with Bill Murray? All right.
But Bill Murray ate my homework.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was really fun. And, you know, we're up there in the forest and we, this old timer comes walking by and, you know, we're kind of like, oh, who's going to notice, you know, and people walk by and don't say anything. And this old timer walks by and he turns back and he's like, Bill Murray? And he's like, yeah, hi, how's it going? And he's just like, wow, Bill Murray. He's like, I haven't been here since they saved this grove, the day that this became Lady Bird Johnson Grove, I was a timber faller here.
Oh, wow.
And I came back to check out this forest. And he starts going off on his story and Bill's just like listening. And, you know, he's like, wow, that's great. And they're just having this whole conversation about the forest. And then it's like, okay, thanks. Nice to meet you, Bill. And he goes on and we're, you know, and it was just these neat interactions. You know, and the guy's just like, wow, I came back here and what did I get? I got Bill Murray.
Yeah. He's just there all the time now.
Yeah. The place is really, really improved. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Well, yeah. Thank you for sharing some of those stories.
I've got a few more stories.
And worship.
Well, cool. Well, we're getting close to our time here. So I want to thank you for indulging us in this conversation. Is there anything else you wanted to put out into Humboldt?
Oh, Humboldt. you know, I want Humboldt to know, you know, we're a strong community and we're going to get through this. And, you know, people wear your masks and stop partying and like, let's get over this because there's a lot of people that are, you know, dependent on, you know, their own businesses and we need to support each other and getting through this. So that's it. I just want people to be healthy and be safe and be strong and let's get through this so we can have a good time and laugh and have fun again.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to see and hear that, It's good to see and hear that it sounds like this has not broken you nor deterred you. There will be fun and merriment again at the historic Eagle House.
Definitely, we don't have a choice.
Okay, yeah.
We gotta get through it and build it even stronger, and you know, be a part of the community for a long time.
Okay, Jenny Metz, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been great to meet you. We look forward to seeing you in person one of these days. See you at the Eagle House.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you so much to our guest, Jenny Metz, for doing our first Humble Holding Up of 2021. And yes, I hope that we did an okay job. I think it seemed like it was bearable for her, that we weren't too rusty. And it was great to learn a little bit more about the Eagle House and her story there. So let's hope we can go there again.
The question I have for you, Steph, would it be within our parameters, within our rules, for us to have as a guest on Humble Holding Up Bill Murray? Would that be allowed?
When he was doing that challenge with like Guy Fieri's son or whatever, his son and Guy, do you remember that? They were doing some sort of like cooking challenge.
Oh.
And I was like, we need to interview Bill Murray. I still have high hopes for it, I guess is what I'm saying. One of my 2021 goals, have Bill Murray on this podcast. He's been to Humboldt.
Yeah, you're looking for any angle possible in order to finagle some FaceTime with Bill Murray.
I'm really grasping at straws here.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for tuning in. Wear a mask. And if you could all just pray that Stephanie gets to talk to Bill Murray this year, that would be great.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. It's been nice to do this again with you.